Each of you have a story to tell. This is one story of a lady's conversion, where she met Jesus, what her life was like before Christ, and the difference that he made. It was at a well in near Sychar, and it was a well that Jacob had dug when he purchased that land a long time before that. So John chapter 4, verse 1. Anybody have a pew Bible today? What page are we on? 562. If you want to follow along, we're going to read a little bit. We're going to read the first 42 verses. Don't let that scare you. I want you to hear what the scripture says, and then we'll try to work on this together and see how the Lord unpacks this story, but I need you to hear the story. Verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea, departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. For us, it'd be noon, pretty close to noon. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have said well, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." At this point, the disciples came. They marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." He said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said one to another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." That's who we get to preach. Is that amazing? We get to talk about Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Christ traveled by foot, and he required some water. He got tired. He knew what it was like to be a man in this world. He knew what it like to be human. To be a human being with all the difficulties that we have sitting there at that well. He knows about your toils. He knows about trials and trouble. He knows when you are tired. Aren't you glad for that? He knows when you're tired. He knows when it's time to take a nap. Prejudice, misunderstanding, and quick judgments are a sign of the few, just a few signs of the fall of mankind. But we get to get past them after we meet Jesus. Jesus is at Jacob's well. This was one of the original watering holes, and it really was a watering hole. It was a well. It was a place where they got well or water out of. In Genesis 33, we find that's where Jacob purchased the land. And then in Joshua 24:32, we find out this is where Joseph's bones were laid. So this is a pretty historical place, this well that was there. It was dug by Joseph. It was dug by Jacob, and his sons and all of his cattle watered at this well. But we know the well was a gift of God. Does that make sense? Water itself is a gift of God. But water is not the only good thing God gives us. He sent us his only begotten Son. He sent us Jesus the Christ. And God wants to satisfy your soul. How amazing is that? He doesn't want to just satisfy your thirst, but that longing of your soul. Well, a woman of Samaria showed up. Jesus is sitting at the well, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." There's probably a few reasons, logical reasons, why a woman would go to the well at the high noon time when it was so hot, but I can't think of any good reason to go carry water in the middle of the day. Could you? It should have been done earlier in the morning. It should have been done at a different time frame. But of all the reasons, one of them she gave, or Jesus gave to her, "You have 5 husbands and you're living with another man." Could you imagine? He has defined her as not just the Samaritans who were outcasts, but possibly the outcasts of the outcasts. How amazing is that? That's who Jesus is talking to. Jesus is talking to the people that the people who don't want to talk to won't talk to. You making that connection? Think about the people you don't want to talk to, and then think about the people they won't talk to. That's who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to a Samaritan woman as a Jewish man. And she said, I'm pretty sure you're a prophet. He's a lot more than a prophet, isn't he? The world will agree Jesus is a prophet, but we're saying he's a lot more than a prophet. I'm not here to tell you Jesus is a prophet. I'm here to tell you he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one who was sent to take away the sin of the world. Talking to this woman, he demonstrates there is no longer to be prejudice about Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles and males and females. When he came to save the lost, he found the most lost one. He was talking to her. He talked to the people who were lost didn't want to talk to. Aren't you glad? Hey, that sounds like me, doesn't it? That was my condition when Jesus came and found me. We have been warned, and there are times that people warn me about going into the prisons, in the hospitals, and they tell me how to dress special, and they tell me the gowns to put on, and rubber gloves, and hats, and masks, and I'm just kind of like, whoa, okay. You're warning me, aren't you? Don't go in there. There ever was a sign. But I know that the Lord helps me to go to the places that are well off the beaten path, going into the valley of the shadow of death. And I know that he has provided for each of us there. So this was the encounter, the woman and Jesus. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus has something to give to us, doesn't he? He has come to bless us. He has come to help us. If you've ever needed any good thing, if you've ever wanted the very best, if you've ever wanted something that'll last for eternity, you've come to the right place. I've got good news. It's salvation. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can use this opportunity. Jesus said, this woman, you can be the first one online. She goes, I probably need to know what you're talking about, don't I? It sounds like a pretty good deal. And they begin this dialogue. The woman said to Jesus, sir, give me water. That's a great deal. Give me some water. Isn't it amazing? That I may not thirst. Give me water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Now, when they say to draw, it's not like what LB and Caden are doing in the back drawing. They're talking about pulling water out of the well. It's an old-time term, isn't it? Drawing water. Can get the water out of the well. That's what they were talking about. There's a more serious matter we need to attend to beside what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we're going to wear. There are blessings in life that we need to understand that God wants to bless us, not just with physical water, but he wants to bless us with living water, a gift from heaven. So she says, I who speak to you am he. You're looking for the Messiah? I am he. This is one of the great I am disclosures that we'll talk about as we go through the Gospel of John. This is the first of many. I am he. I am the Messiah. The woman had a crisis moment. Remember what she came to the well for? Water. She brought her water pot. You know something happened because she left her water pot behind. We understand that she now understood there was something more important than that water down at the bottom of the well that she came to at noontime to receive. She was the first person. This is an amazing thought. Think about this. The first person who talked about Jesus being the Christ was a woman. This is an example of a woman pastor. Do you get this? A woman evangelist. The good news in this village came from a woman. A woman. Came from a woman. Yeah, underline how many times you're going to mess that one up. In this village, it was not the 12 disciples who had just visited there that shared the good news. The Messiah is here. It was a woman who knew Jesus knew everything she did. See, that's a part of confession, isn't it? It's not that we can remember everything we did. There's some things we have long buried. Isn't that true? And sometimes the devil brings photographs, and I just tell, hey, I'm glad God forgave me of that too. Thanks for reminding me what God forgave me for. Does that help? Jesus knows everything you did. The woman confessed, yes, you do. If you know that, then you know everything about me. And before I met Jesus, all I ever did without Jesus was sin. Do I need to repeat that? Before Jesus, everything I did was sin. And when he knew everything about me, as he knew everything about this woman, he knows what we have done. But the good news is he is coming to take away our sin. He's coming to the lost so that we might be redeemed. And then we find that there is great worship that is occurring. Worship is a natural byproduct of a new heart. Your heart is stirred. Your soul is blessed when you are in communion with God, and his spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And it's kind of hard to put that down a little bit. It's like putting Michael in a cage. Does that make sense? He might yell a little bit. I don't get to see all the stuff he's doing, but it makes you smile. I catch that. And I just want to know I missed something he did. I don't know what the deal is. But I know when the Lord's blessing, it's kind of hard to hide it, isn't it? And that's what's happening in this lady's life. I can worship alone, but when I get together as the body of Christ, there's a transformation that occurs similar to the transfiguration. You just can't put God in a box when he's blessing people. It comes out different, doesn't it? Some people laugh, some people cry, some people stand up, some people sit down, some people bow. Some people raise their hands. Some say, amen. Some say it softly. Some say it very loudly. There ought to be a warning that comes on our bulletin. Sleeping at your own risk. At any moment, we may burst out into spontaneous praise and worship. That's why we're here, isn't it? I've come to the conclusion, I saw a sign I really didn't like. It said casual worship. It's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? How can you casually approach the Lord God Almighty? What, do you sneak up on him? He knows you're coming. And he wants you to be prepared for that encounter. Does that make sense? What I kind of try to think and look about is say, why don't we just say you can come in your work clothes because he's going to put you to work. Does that make sense? He is going to help you to share the good news. He is going to work through you and send you into the world as his ambassador. My favorite visit with somebody is when they went I don't know what else to call him, but he was a guy, a salesman. He showed up, and I'm cutting wood with my Husqvarna saw in my bib overalls and flannel shirt. You know what he asked me, didn't you? Is the pastor here? And anyone know what kind of guy is the pastor? I like him, he said. And then he goes, you are the pastor, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of like Jesus. He wore work clothes, didn't he? There's a time you'll see him high and lifted up. There's a time you'll see him on the throne. But he's come to save the lost, hasn't he? And he expects us to do his work. He wants us to finish his work, which is telling this story of grace. It is telling what is happening. So I am not sure we have casual worship, but what we have is you can worship in your work clothes. Does that make sense? Because you can take God to work with you. I thought, if there ever was a good place for an amen, that's about where it was. And you can take the Lord into retirement with you, and you can take the Lord into disability with you, and you can take him anywhere you happen to be. And that every place becomes a holy place, just like this well. See, they were excited. Hey, I know this well. Jacob dug this well. Joseph's bones are buried right there. This is an amazing place. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Joseph's gone. Jacob's gone. I'm here. And I want to give you something you can't get out of this old well. Living water. You take this stuff, it'll infect you, though. I'm warning you right now, lady. You taste this stuff, you won't need this stuff. Do you see the significance of the left behind pot? She didn't need that water anymore, did she? She got filled up with something else, didn't she? Living water. She went back to town and said, hey, got something I need to tell you. Yeah, I know I'm the worst person in town. You guys all told me that. You convinced me of it. And I met a guy, he knew everything I did. You only know half of it. Isn't that true? No matter how well somebody knows you, they don't even know half of what you did wrong. But she said, this guy knew everything I did. He's the Messiah. And that's confession, isn't it? That's the confession the Lord wants to hear. You know everything I did, and you still died for me. You know everything I did, and you still want me into your kingdom. Adopt me? What a glorious thought. We find opportunities just like Jesus now to talk to anybody at any time. Whether it's difficult or strange, it's always providential time. There were two things that caught this woman's attention. Number one, that Jesus knew everything about her. And number two, his words convicted her heart. For the first time in her life, she did not like her life. Does that make sense? She didn't like. She didn't have to put up with the facade anymore. How you doing? Okay, keep going. He says, I don't think you're happy. I don't think your soul has been satisfied with six men. I don't think that satisfied your soul, has it? There are a lot of things this world has to offer that will not satisfy your soul. Jesus will. He will address the need of your soul. So he tells his disciples, hey, they come back and they said, I'm not sure what's going on. Jesus, when they left, is weary. He's tired. He had to sit down. It looked like he wasn't going to make it. And they said, stay here. We'll go get you some respite. We'll go get you some food. We'll be right back. And they come back and he says, I've eaten. My soul has been refreshed. I have been revived. I've been doing my Father's work. I get to do God's work in this world. That'll make you happy. Have you noticed? It will make you so happy. Landon gets it. Ask him later, he'll explain it. Good helper, man. We're going to have to get you on the payroll soon. And by chapter 19, Jesus simply says, "It is finished." The greatest joy in this world or the next is the redemption of one's soul. If you want to get excited about something, get excited that you can be redeemed. Get excited about you have been redeemed. Get excited about those who God wants to redeem. This tired, dragging, weary Jesus sitting on the well, enjoyed opening, breaking out the heavenly manna and giving it to the lost of the lost. Oh, they even steal our word lost, don't they? Now it's some kind of crazy TV show or something. The lost are people who are just in need of Jesus. Don't let them take our words. Don't let them steal the theology of the church. Your soul will prosper when you're about his business. Do I need to say that again? Your soul prospers when you're about his business. It's kind of like the inside of a garden hose. How wet do you think it is in there? If he's moving through you, don't you think you're getting a little bit wet on the inside? Where do you think the living water's coming from? It's coming from the fountain of living water. It's flowing out of your heart. And you may do something as wacky and loopy as I am, preaching the good news of the gospel. And then Jesus says, hey, go back. There it is. Don't you say 4 months until the harvest? He says, open your eyes. People already are lost. The kingdom's already here. People are already being blessed, aren't they? Tell them your story. Would you do that? When Jesus became Lord of your life, how that average, routine, mundane church service all of a sudden became a holy place because Jesus showed up. I don't know if he hits you on the back of the head or he catches you on the forehead, or you just have an epiphany, as they call it. I understand now. I was blind and now I see. That's not how I got it. I was blind! Whoa, what is that? Yeah, you should have seen me when Jesus did. Let's keep going. My wife has pictures. Woo! That'll bless you. No matter what your story of salvation, if you tell people, they will be blessed. Tell them what Jesus did. It will make a difference. Your testimony will plant a seed. It'll bless them, and it will bless you too. This is a demonstration of the power of Jesus to touch one heart, every human heart. And it really doesn't matter if it's a burning bush, the Damascus Road, if it's a road in Gaza or the walls of Jericho, God knows how to save you. Doesn't matter if you're the worst of the worst or the worst of the worst won't even talk to you. The Lord's come to save the lost. Tell him your story. And this woman felt conviction. If God knew what you did, I know he knows what I did. Yeah, but he wants to redeem us both, doesn't he? And isn't that interesting? That the worst of the worst went and found the entire village and brought them out, and many of them met Jesus because he was able to save the worst one. Isn't that amazing? But it was her life and her testimony and her confession. Those people knew who she was, didn't they? She didn't have to show up, and you know who I am, right? I'm the local whatever. Yeah. But let me tell you, Jesus forgave me. I'm telling you, that makes an impact no matter where you say it, no matter how it's said. And the Holy Spirit will use that to convict hearts and lives, and they too will confess, won't they? And as they do, share them your story, your prayer. the Lord's Prayer, the prayer he taught us to pray. Does that make sense? In there are all the components. Everything they need to know is tucked right there. There's a table set for us today. It's the Lord's table. I want to share that with you. I want to take a moment and share communion. And you might make a public profession of your faith, share the good news with someone or whoever might be here available for us today. I'd like to ask Denise, would you come and help us? Did you pick someone else? Or we? All right. We got Bob right there. Maybe he could help us today. He's been ushering. Can you help us with communion? Would you do that, brother? All right. If you would like to receive communion this morning, I invite you to stand if you're able to do that. And this is an open communion. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a part of the Church of the Nazarene. If you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we welcome you to partake of this communion with us. I ask that you would be seated after you receive both the bread and the cup, but hold them so that all might partake together. And in that way, if you're seated, I'll know all who have been served, who want to be served. And it is not our responsibility to judge you. And if you're not able to stand, you may be served seated if you need to do that. I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And that's why we practice communion in this manner. All right. Aren't you glad for these simple elements? The Lord changed the well that day, didn't he? He changed my heart, changed my life. It became a temple of the Holy Spirit, didn't it? He takes these little bits that have been broken from the matzah and what has been squeezed out of grapes to remind us of his grace and his brokenness, that we too might know the joy of salvation. Let's say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder of the heavenly manna that came down and was broken for our benefit. Thank you for reminding us of the new covenant you've given to us, the covenant in your own blood, not just the blood of goats and heifers and doves, but you have shed the most precious gift on earth. Thank you for the remission of sins, for making it possible for us to join in this heavenly celebration before we arrive in your presence. Thank you for these hors d'oeuvres of heaven, the grace of God poured out upon men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take and eat that which symbolizes the Lord's body that was broken for you. And drink the cup as a symbol of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus, that he has washed your sins away. Father, we are grateful for what we have just enjoyed. And we know that even as we can still taste these elements, We long to taste those things that are of your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for allowing us to partake a shadow of what we will experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you.